All right, welcome back to the studio. I'm Guru Catherine, joined again today by Carrie Trubenbach, gifted therapist and spiritual being. And we're going to talk about some very, very fun things today. We're going to talk a lot about crypto. What is it for people who want to get into it? Like Carrie, she's got a great question about how to get into it without having to get into the technical and what is it and what is this mess and why and what can I trust and what can I not trust and questions there. And then we're going to do your numbers today, Carrie. We're going to do your sort of life chart. We're going to do kind of what this year generally for the whole energies for the whole year. And then we're going to look at February and get into some specific questions and have some fun with that. So let's have fun. Thanks for joining me.
And thanks for having me. This is a blast. I love this when we do this.
It's fun. It's a big fun. So let's start with your crypto question, which I think a lot of people kind of wonder the same thing. What do you want to know?
Right. Well, okay. So what I want to know, I don't really understand it. I was talking a little bit about this before, and that is that I may even be understanding some of the concepts now. Initially, it was all foreign, and now I've gotten used to some, socially, there are terms that have become now common, so we can cognitively understand them and get comfortable with them. But I'm just as naive and just as clueless and ignorant of how this works than I ever was, only I'm just a little bit more comfortable with some of the terms. So because it's so foreign, it's a little overwhelming. Just like stocks, when people learn about stocks, there are some of us that I didn't get stocks either. So I just didn't dabble in it because I didn't really get it. Now I get it, but I'm still not dabbling in it, but I get it better and more now. So I guess the thing is, you know, if I could find somebody, I guess, that would do it for me that I really trusted, because it's so over the top for me. It's so, it's just like trying to understand quantum physics. That's when we think about quantum physics, we can understand it to some degree, cognitively speaking, but we don't live in quantum physics. So right. We can't really truly understand what that is until we live it. And that's kind of cryptocurrency to me.
Yeah. Well, and that makes a lot of sense. So crypto is a really fascinating thing that came along. And I want to separate the utility of the crypto and what the actual cryptocurrency is and what you can do with it and whatever from the technology that it's based on.
Okay, right? Great. What it's backed up, like our money used to be backed up by gold and then it wasn't. So what's cryptocurrency backed up, or is it just an idea that somebody puts out and people buy into it?
That is the best question of all. So the cryptocurrencies are, think of them like an alternate version of a currency, right? So in the world, we're used to having, there's dollars, there's pounds, there's euros, you know, there's yen. And these are all currencies that are used in different countries. And we're pretty comfortable with these different currencies. And if you go from one country to another, you may have to exchange your dollars for euros or something and use euros over there. So crypto came along as a way to, you know, could we create a digital cash where it still operates kind of like cash? I can give some to you. You can give some to me. We can buy stuff with it. But it's digital. And so that's where the first major crypto, the first major one that survived, which was Bitcoin, came along. And Bitcoin is the 800-pound gorilla, right? It's the king of all cryptos, just because it's been around for 15 years at this point, which sounds like an incredibly long time. But But that one was the first one to come along. And the fact that it runs on blockchain, blockchain is just an infrastructure. It's just, you know, so normally like your dollars, well, what are your dollars running on? Well, they're running on servers at your bank and servers that talk to other bank servers in other parts of the world. So instead of servers at banks, it's running on computers, individual million, I think Bitcoin's up to about a million nodes all around the world. And so don't worry about the infrastructure it's sitting on. Just like when you go to the bank and do banking, you're not really thinking about where is your server and who's running that. You don't worry about that. You just go to the bank and do your banking, right? So don't worry about the blockchain stuff. Just focus on the crypto.
Okay, but let me just ask, you used the word nodes. Nodes?
Yeah. Nodes.
You used the word nodes. That's right. Can you define that, please?
Yeah. So a node is just a computer. It might be a laptop. It might be a desktop computer. It might be a server in a data center.
A device. Okay.
That's running the software for whichever network it is. So if you're running a Bitcoin node, you're running the Bitcoin software on that machine, on that device. That's it. So it's a machine that somebody volunteered and they promised that device is going to sit there and run that software and do nothing else. That's all it's going to do. It's going to sit in the corner and run that software. And they're not going to use it for anything else. And so that's what nodes are. That's all they are. That's it. So then crypto, whether that's Bitcoin or any of the others, is just really think of it like an application that's running on that infrastructure. It's more like an app. It's one thing running on that. And there's lots of things running on that infrastructure, right? Just like at the bank, you can send dollars, but you could also get a mortgage or, you know, do other things, right? You can do many things at the bank. Right. Get cash is one of them. You can do many things on a blockchain. A crypto is one of them. So you have all these cryptos. So when you go to, if people want to get involved in crypto, usually the simplest way to do that is to go to a reputable centralized exchange like Coinbase right now has a good reputation. That's a good one. And you can look up kind of, because we're here in the US, that's usually the one that I send people to is Coinbase. They've got a solid long history. They're in probably the best legal standing of all of them at the moment. And that's a good pick. And they make it pretty easy. And they're centralized, which means, what does that mean? It just means that they're a company. They are a, you know, incorporated company with a board of directors and customer service.
So it's not just a single, right. So it's not just, I always thought that there was maybe just a group of people that got together, put this out there. And then when they get, you know, millions of dollars, they determine, they take it out and it drops and everybody's like, oh God, you know, but meanwhile, it's just set up by a group of people that just want to get rich. And
well,
they do.
And there's plenty of projects out there like
the
that.
People that. Yeah, because the people that make it or create it, they can just as easily just take it and knock it down. They have total control. Right,
but if not necessarily. Yeah, not necessarily. Okay. So Coinbase is run by a company called Coinbase, and they have a website, coinbase.com. And now, because they are a company, they control the whole thing. So if they wanted to shut it down tomorrow, they could. Whereas there are some what's called decentralized exchanges, which that's another level, which I don't recommend for your first step. But they do exist where you have, it's based on blockchain and you have multiple devices all around the world running it, you can't shut them down. There's no one person or one organization that can go, shut it all down, we're done. Because you can take out one of those devices or two or 10 of those devices that are running it. But what about the rest are going to keep running it? So the reason you can't get rid of Bitcoin, even though it was just begun by, you know, a couple of random individuals who had a great idea, you've got a million devices all running that software right now scattered all over the world. You could take out 10 of those devices, 100 of those devices, take down 1,000 of those devices. You can't stop it because the other 900 are going to keep going. You can't stop a distributed, decentralized network.
Heard that before. So it seems like that would be the safer route, though, because we have given corporations individual power. I mean, power as individuals.
Yeah. Right. Individuals. Exactly. So, and that's where you get. And that's where you get the scandals like FTX and Sam Bankman-Fried, and he gets paraded into jail for fraud because he was running a company, and that company had an exchange, some very similar to Coinbase. In fact, they were bigger than Coinbase. And he's like, oh, thank you for your money. I'll just go use it over here and do other things with it and make bad choices. And so where are you really safer? Are you safer at a centralized exchange, or are you safer, you know? And you have to decide for yourself. So I feel good enough. I'll speak for myself. I feel good enough about Coinbase and Coinbase.com that if I want to purchase crypto, I will go there to do it. Because of all of my options out there, I feel like they are the safest choice for me. Now, going there and setting up an account with them is as easy as setting up a Facebook account or, you know, a social media account. They make it, because they're a nice centralized company, they have a beautiful website, and they make it very simple to set up an account, and they make it very simple to buy whichever crypto you want to buy. And they've got just hundreds. There are hundreds. I think they've got 200 different coins on there right now. And you can buy as much as you want of any of them. Now, how do you choose smartly? How do you choose wisely which one you're going to buy? Let me tell you let me tell you how to choose badly. And then we'll start by avoiding that. So the thing that people get wrong when they decide, they're like, oh, I want to get into crypto and I want to buy some crypto. So they go to Coinbase and they make an account and they see, oh, all these cool coins. I could buy any of them. Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. Which one should I get? And then they go to Twitter or the news or something like that. And they see what's the coin everybody's talking about. Just because everybody's talking about it doesn't make it a smart pick, just like stocks, right? Just because everybody's talking about that company doesn't mean buying stock from that company is a smart choice. Okay, well, what if they're just hyping it, right? They'll just hype it up. Oh, this coin is going to go to the moon. Oh, this is going to be the best thing ever. This is going to go to 100,000. You know, that doesn't mean it will. It's just people, they just yap and they'll say anything. So I would specifically avoid any coin where it's just, they're just hyping it. If it's that high quality, they shouldn't have to hype it. If it's that good a choice, you shouldn't have to be out there shouting it to the rooftops. So what you want to do is very similar to what you would with stocks. You want to take a look at, well, what project is this? And like what you asked before, what's backing this? You know, and gold used to back the dollar. It hasn't backed the dollar since like the 1970s, I think. Even earlier maybe. So what is this project? What is it about? And look at them like they're a company. And be like, what are their plans and who's running it? And, you know, what's their mission? And, you know, take a look at really what is who and what is behind this coin. So I'll throw some of the top, the most popular ones out there. So Bitcoin is the king of crypto. It is the front. It was the first. Who's running it? Nobody, and yet all of humanity at the same time. It's a really amazing network. There are people who just come together to upgrade the software. Well, what's the value of this coin based on? Scarcity. Yes. Scarcity and fear. So it's based on scarcity, okay, because there will ever only be 21 million Bitcoin ever created. So so eventually the value of each of those coin will go up, because after they print 21 million of them, they're not going to print anymore. They call it minting, but I'm going to use the word printing because it makes more sense in terms of currency. They're not going to produce more than 21 million ever. And it's on a schedule that they put out a certain amount every day, and it gets less and less periodically, gets less and less over time. So they're printing fewer and fewer of them over time. And eventually it'll just stop. They won't be making any more new ones. Which increases their value because it makes them scarce. Yeah. So then people fear missing out on this scarce resource. So then they want to buy it to have it.
There's a delay and so basically it's based on scarcity, like you said, and lack. And if we believe in lack and limitation, then we're gonna buy it so we don't lose out. How does that fit into someone who has a belief in their abundance? And their own abundance. How does that fit in that?
So that's a great question. You have to think about that. Does that align with your own philosophies for your life? Does that align with your philosophies of investment, right? In investing. And so I'm a value investor. I'm not a day trader. I'm not looking for a quick profit, right? I'm more about long-term gains. I'm in the long game, right? So I'm looking for value. So when I look at Bitcoin, well, like, undoubtedly it's the king. Undoubtedly it will go up. I'll bet you it will. I have no doubt. I could see Bitcoin at a million. I have no doubt over the next 5 years. But did I buy any? No, I didn't. So I look at some of the other coins because I'm like, I got to see real value, because that's just my own personal preference. So I look at some of the other projects, and my other reason I don't particularly love Bitcoin is because of it is a proof of work system, which requires very fancy hardware that uses lots of electricity. And I'm like, I don't love that either. Now this change the fact that the value of Bitcoin is, I believe, going to skyrocket. It absolutely will. Right. So if people who want to make a profit and that's the focus, I think it's a great choice. But it wasn't exactly for me. So there are hundreds of other choices out there. So you look at some of the other ones. And so like Polkadot is one that I just love. I adore it. And I am heavily invested because I studied their project for 2-3 years now. I know who wrote it. I know their backgrounds. I know who's running it now. I studied their code, all 2 million beautiful lines of code in their software. I went into their software and I taught myself enough Rust to be able to read their software to see what they'd done, what they built their blockchain on.
Whoa. You know,
And then once I went through all their software, I looked at what's their plan, you know, what is this project? What are they planning? And I thought, holy cow, this is real value. But they don't market themselves very well. They're not that great at marketing and advertising. They're about to get better. I saw them just give a coin grant for better marketing and advertising. So that will get better over time. They'll figure it out. But I'm like, man, this is brilliant. Nobody sees it yet. I'm getting it. And so that's one that I thought, you know, I'm like, this is very high value. Plus they've got this feature where you can take your DOT, which is their coin, is called DOT, and you can stake it, which is a lot like putting, like being in a CD at the bank, right? It's a lot like putting your money in a CD. You get a certain percentage interest return for doing that, but you have to leave it in there for a little while. So you can do the staking with DOT, and the returns are, I don't know, 18 to 20% per year is what I'm getting. And so it's very nice returns.
Wow.
I'm not an investment advisor. Yeah, that's just what I'm personally getting.
Right, but does that come in as a dividend? I'm again trying to relate it to what I know, which is
right. So what it comes in,
what I know.
Yeah, so in the crypto world, you have a little wallet. It is your account, very similar to your bank account. You would have a crypto account, and you would have a separate crypto account for your Bitcoin than you would for your DOT or your Cardano or your whatever, right? Different account for each coin. And so into your DOT account, they just put more coin every single day. So it's compounding daily. So every day, new coin is showing up in your account when you're staked. So when you stake it, which is like putting it in a CD, you get new coin added to your account every day. And that new coin adds up to about 18 to 20, 22% per year, you know, by the end of a year.
That's really good. I mean, that's in banks.
Oh, it is great. Well, I like it because it's a hedge against the ups and downs of the value of the coin itself. So if you're getting new coin in all the time, you're not too concerned about whether or not the coin value goes up or down. You're just collecting all this new coin and letting it pile up over the long term. And then, you know, if the coin value does go up in the future, cool. Great. That's even better. But even if the value of the coin never changed, you're still getting more coin, more coin, more coin, more coin every single day. So staking is, I always tell people, if you hold crypto and you can stake it, do. And in fact, Coinbase, you can stake it with them and they'll give you about, I think it's about 9.9% on DOT that they'll give you to stake it, and they'll stake it for you. So you can.
Now you just. What's the difference between staking it through Coinbase and staking it directly with them?
Right.
Can
so
you
if
do
you
that?
Stake
can
it
you
with.
Do, can you take.
So if you buy it at Coinbase, if you buy it at Coinbase, they will say, hey, stake this coin and we'll give you 9.9% annual. And so you can do it with them, which is easy. That's a very easy way to do it. Or you can do it yourself by moving your coin off of Coinbase into a wallet that you control rather than one that Coinbase controls. You can move it into your own wallet off of Coinbase and stake it yourself. And that's a process that I walk people through when they're joining our nomination pool. And I walk people through that all the time. And you can stake it yourself and get that fuller, more like 18, 20%. So the reason Coinbase can offer people almost 10% is because they know they're going to get like 20.
Oh, wow. But
right.
But then you hear about, yeah, it's true. But then I have a couple of clients that have lost, like two that I know of that were very involved in this. And they, I mean, I don't mean to bring this as a downer, but they lost one lost 100,000, the other lost 250,000. They, ouch. Somebody went in to, and this happened across the country. People were, it wasn't just them. It was people across the country. Somebody went in and got in and hacked, and it could have even been one of the founders. See, that's why I have a trouble with this. They went in, they hacked, and lots of people, I mean, they must have taken millions and millions, because I only know two people. They were both, they're clients of mine. So I can't tell you their names or anything, but
no.
One was 100,000, the other 250,000. So,
that's why I don't leave my coins on the exchange. I get them off of the exchange. As much as I love Coinbase.com, I love you guys, but I get them off.
That's why you
I get my coins off.
That's why you take them off and you stake
that's
them
why
in
I
your
do my own wallet. My own wallet that I control. There's a phrase in the crypto world, not your keys, not your coins. If you don't control the keys to your account, you do not control the money in that account. So in any centralized exchange like Coinbase or any of the other ones, they control it. Now this makes that's so they can make it convenient for you, but you don't control your account. They control your account. You know one of the keys to your account, but you won't know both. And actual crypto accounts have even more than two keys. There are two what are called keys, and then there's several other associated identifiers that go with. Yeah. And so it is. So don't worry about that bit. Central. So Coinbase makes it easy. I think let me boil it down. The simplest version of this is just in the same way that like T. Rowe Price or Fidelity or Robinhood makes it easy to buy stocks. If you wanted to go and play and buy a stock, you could use one of those guys and you could go buy a stock. But you would want to research the company carefully of what stock am I buying? Do I believe in what this company is doing? Do I think that they have a future? Coinbase makes it easy to buy crypto. But you want to research who is this project? You know, do I like what they're doing? Do I think they have a real future? Don't just listen to some hype on the internet, right? But do they have a real future, this coin? And what is this project and who are they? Who's running it? And so you are probably pretty safe leaving your crypto on Coinbase. But I am fairly paranoid about these things. So I don't leave. Yeah, I don't leave my coins there, but that's because I have the tech geek know-how to get them off.
Right.
And the tech geeks know how to get their coins off the exchange. And then when they want to cash them out, you bring them back, cash them out. You know, but because I'm not a day trader, I'm not trying to, you know, make quick trades during the day. I can take my coins safely and go hide them somewhere else, somewhere that I control, you know, for years or whatever,
but
you know,
and stake them. But that's my point, is that you are a techie. You're a nerd. You're fantastic.
I'm a total nerd.
And I'm a nerd in other areas, but not when it comes to finances, numbers, aside from.
Yeah. So I would just, yeah. So I would just, you know, if for all those out there who are not techie, which is most people, but you're curious and you do want to hold some crypto because you're like, there's something here. I need to get involved, but I don't want to go heavily into it because that feels too risky. I don't want to put so much money into it. Then I would go with Coinbase and I would, you know, just don't buy a ton, right? Don't put 100,000 in there, right? Put what you're comfortable with. And, you know, Dave Ramsey, I love Dave Ramsey. He has a saying, you know, because say, is it okay if I spend this much on a boat or an RV or whatever? And he'll say, well, if you took that money and you piled it up in the street and you burned it, would it matter? Like, would you have to change your lifestyle? And they'll be like, well, no. He's like, well, then go do it. Go have fun. So take however much money that if you piled it up in the street and burned it, it wouldn't matter. And that's your crypto investment. So then it really takes the pressure off. And then you go to Coinbase and you buy whatever, you know, one or two or three or whatever coins you're interested in. And that you like the project and you feel like it's a high quality project. And then, you know, you can stake it with Coinbase. They make it so easy and, you know, get so that you're getting interest on that. It's not just sitting there hoping the price goes up. It's actually earning more coin. And I believe you are as safe at Coinbase.com as you are probably most anywhere else. Of all the places you could have your coins, that's pretty safe. Because there's differences, right? Because sometimes even banks get breached, right? Sometimes even, yes, you know, your bank account can get hacked too. Right. Yeah, so sometimes it happens in the regular financial world too. So you got to be careful. I think Coinbase is probably up there as much safer than some of the lesser known ones. So I always tell people to start there. And then it's more like, how paranoid do you want to get? We can go as far down that rabbit hole as you want to. But at some point, let me ask you this. You're fine. Yeah.
Okay. So let me ask you this. As far as, you know, when you want to buy stocks, you go to a, if you're someone like me, who doesn't understand stocks. I mean, I understand the concept of it and so on, but I don't, my time is utilized in different ways other than researching companies and what they're doing. Right. And really to know what you're doing in stocks, you have to be, if you're really gonna do it right, you do have to do what you're doing. You do have to do the research. You have to find out what their mission. You have to find out a lot of information out. Those of us that are, most people are more, I think, like me, where their life is so full, they don't have time for that. So they're willing to pay a broker to invest and make that decision for them. So here's the question. Are you willing to be a broker? Because I'd be willing to pay you a commission to do this for me, because I'm somebody that, I mean, I would literally have to write everything down, go over it once, and then I would just repeat it. Like, I'll never be somebody that makes the just because I don't know if I'll never or ever, I don't even use those terms anymore, really. But my natural inclination is not finances and math. My natural inclination is in other areas. And so for me to do this right and get comfortable, I would have to do the research like you're saying. And I just don't have the time for that. So could I pay somebody who's willing to do that, that I trust, you're the only one I know I trust in this, to do that and share in the profit of it or what, however you'd set it up. Just like if I'm going to do stocks, I want to deal with an agent that this is what they do. They research, they find out.
Right. And so here's the current state of things. So the brokers, the stock brokers out there and the wealth managers and financial advisors of the world are not currently allowed to recommend or purchase crypto of any kind. They can get you into the new Bitcoin ETFs, that which is a stock product based on the Bitcoin price, and they can get you into that. I know. It's that's a whole other show right there. But so to be a broker is I can't legally do that. But what I can legally do is I run a dot nomination pool. I run a polka dot nomination pool, and this is cool. So this is for people who want to have dot and they want to stake their dot, but they don't want to do any of the work because staking dot involves work. They want their 18 to 20%, but they don't want to do any of the work because the work involves picking which validators to stake the coin on and who's a good one and who's not, whatever. And so I do all the work. And they get to enjoy their profits. And the reason I can do the nomination pools legally is because I never touch your money. You don't give me your money. You don't give me control of your money or your coins. I never touch it. You maintain complete control over your money and your coins the whole time. And it's very cool. I can walk you through that whole thing in short order. Well, but never put in more than you're willing to lose. That's the big key.
That's true. And I've always lived by that myself. When I have invested, I thought, well, if I lose it all, can I afford to lose this all and be okay? And if it's a yes, I go. And if it's a no, I don't.
Yeah.
So I've been using that myself, but I'm not a big gambler. I'm not into big risks, especially when you get older. You just can't recuperate sometimes fast enough when you take risks. So good. I would love to do this with you. Sign me up and be.
I will walk you through all of it. And it starts the same way. Like, go to coinbase.com, make an account. They make it easy. And when you make an account and buy some dot. Buy some polka dot as much as you feel comfortable. You'll put this into. With.
Yeah. And you can show me how to put this in your own wallet.
I'm going to walk you through how to get that off of Coinbase into your own wallet and how to join my nomination pool. And then I will handle it. I handle it from there. And so I will be, making sure coins are getting into your account. But yeah, I'll walk you through that. And I do that for anybody who comes to my pool. Because it's not obvious.
Okay.
It's not.
It's not, honestly, it's not up my alley. It's not of my interest. My interests are purely at this point, you know, the work I do as a psychotherapist and spirituality and doing retreats and I don't, the days of me sitting in front of a computer for hours doing the research, the kind of stuff that you do, those days are kind of over for me.
I know.
And plus, I live in a place now in the country where I don't get good internet anyway.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, the number of people that are willing to go through 2 million lines of polka dot code is pretty rare. That is some dry reading.
That you may be the only and or if not one of the only people that
right is me and it. The six guys who wrote it.
Did you ever write to them and let them know that you did this?
I don't know. They've got a pretty vibrant volunteer developer community and paid developer community. And so they're always innovating and updating their code on GitHub, and it's all open source. Anybody can see it. Anybody can look at everything. I don't know. I may be the only one that went that goofy, but lots of people use their code. In fact, when we built Geode blockchain, we forked their code and then made some changes and improvements of our own. And that's how Geode began, is a Substrate fork. So But not to get into the nerd weeds, but let's do your numbers. So
I have one more question. If I wanted to, like someone told me that, you know, in the long run, Cardona or whatever that
Cardano
is, you know.
Cardano. Yeah, sure. And yeah.
Going to be a good investment. And through this particular one that you're using, the polka dot?
Dot is one crypto. Cardano is a different crypto. And Solana, Ethereum, Bitcoin, these are all different coins. So at Coinbase, if you have a Coinbase account, you can buy some Cardano, you can buy some DOT, you can buy some Bitcoin or Ethereum or Solana, or, you know, pick one. But only the DOT is all that we can take over to the nomination pools to stake and get that 18 to 20%. And now Cardano may have a staking option of its own. It's just that I'm not versed in that.
Okay. No, that's okay. Yeah. Perfect. Okay. Now I'd love to hear what you came up with for my numbers.
So we're going to do your...
Anybody who's listening, by the way, I just want to let you know that my last name is Trubenbach. And so you'll see the B-N-A-C-H at the end, but it's just B-A-C-H.
There you go. Trubenbach. Yeah. And we'll have it spelled correctly on the video when it goes on the title of the video when it goes out as well. All right, cool. So taking a look at your numbers, and for everybody who knows me out there, you know, I do numerology for fun. It's Pythagorean numerology. So taking a look at your life chart. So you are a ruling number 5, which is the same as me. And woohoo, ruling fives. So the 5 is about action. You are action oriented. You make things happen. You get things done. 5 is in the center of the chart. So we tend to be in the center of activity. And the shadow side of 5 is that it can tend to get too task oriented. And then you have to kind of pull back, you know, into center.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the basics. So, overall, when I look at your, what we would call your birth chart from a numerology perspective, you have a phenomenal birth chart. So you have the arrow of inspiration, the arrow of manifestation, and you have the entire row of information. So your world is focused on information primarily, but you get a lot of inspiring ideas and you make a lot of them come true. So this is that's the most beautiful birth chart I think I've ever seen. You're in a 4-year right now. So when you hit your birthday this year, so at the moment you're actually in a 3, but when you hit your birthday this year, you're going to start a 4-year. So the 3 years are about, which is where you're at until June. So the first half of this year, you're in a 3. 3 is about divine information. So lots of information coming in, lots of inspiration, lots of downloads. Then on your birthday, you're going to click over into a 4-year. 4 is the number of foundation. It's the dark side of 4 is rigidity. So you want to be careful in the second half of the year that you're not too rigid about things. So you see this information coming in the first half of the year. And that's an opportunity then to create something foundational in the second half of this year and in the first half of next year. So don't be too rigid in that, though. And as I look at the chart for your 2024 overall, it's ruled by the subconscious. Now, this can be good because you've done a lot of shadow work. So, but this is a drama. This year is some drama. This year is some drama. So your subconscious will be triggered easily this year. So just be aware of that. And every time it's triggered, use that as a, you know, it's time to work on whatever came up. If you do that, you'll get through a lot of whatever's still in the shadow. But it's also a year that's very focused on your physical environment, you know, houses, vehicles, body, your physical 3D environment. And it's also a year that's very focused on energy. And what does that mean? That means the balance of energy. That means also your time, attention, and money, because those are representations of human energy. So your time, attention, your money, your house, and the balance, creating balance in your life. And that's the year that's coming for you, but it looks like it could be a little dramatic. And now drama can also be good drama, right? Drama can be, wow, that's so great, right? Or it could be, oh, that's so crappy. Whoa. But so your year is like, yeah, right? And it all surrounds your house. Yeah. And your inner self and where you're putting your time, attention, and money. So just keep it smooth. Don't dive in with the lows. Don't get too high with the highs. Keep it even keel. Just knowing that's coming. So if we dive into your February, and want to get a general idea, and I'm staring at the screen weirdly. It's because I'm looking at the charts up here for February for you. You've got a number of days this month where you have, you know, finger of God opportunity. That's where things can come in. Those serendipitous awesomeness can come in. And you've got a good number of days this month where you have that arrow of inspiration coming in, which is native to you. And anything that stands out here is pretty chill and pretty good. Let me see where your drama is coming in. February 4th. 4th, 5th, 6th are potential drama days for you. And then the 13th through the 16th.
Okay, hold
potential
on.
And remember that drama could be good. It could be something positive happening.
Okay, this is drama 4th, 5th, and then what?
Yeah,
days?
4th, 5th, and yeah, February 4th, 5th, and 6th. And then the 13th through the 16th. And then 22nd through 24th. The 26th. The 26th and the 30th. Oh, no, there's no 31st. The 26th of February. So you get these sprinkling of the drama days, and that's just sort of characteristic of the year. And then they're balanced with these other days where there's no drama and it's very chill. You have God consciousness and control working on your energy, and foundational things are happening. So it reminds me of these cycles that we go through where we're challenged. And then we have to make a choice, right? The challenge pushes you to make a choice. You make a choice, and then you get the karma. And I don't like to use the word consequences, because consequences seem like they're direct. But it's more like the karma. Have you ever noticed that when you make a good choice, the universe rewards you in some random way you never imagined? You know, we were walking on the beach. And I was being lazy, and I didn't want to go all the way to the end of the island up on Honeymoon Island. I'm like, oh, it's so far. I was being lazy. It's not that far. And so I'm like, no, I'm not gonna be lazy. I'm gonna go all the way to the end before I turn around and come back. So I did. I went all the way to the end. I chose to not be lazy, but enjoy the entire walk. Got to all the way to the end, and the most beautiful conch shell it's like about that big. It's sitting on my altar back there. It's so beautiful. I've never seen anything as gorgeous as this. And there it was. And that was my reward. Oh, you did it. Wow. You chose not to be lazy and walk all the way to the end of the island. Here you go. Here's a beautiful shell. And I was like, I love it. So, you know, we get these little rewards when we make certain choices, and we get certain pain when we make other choices. But this month for you is this, you're going to start to feeling the shift from the 3 year to the 4 year as you slowly move towards June. But it's that half is some drama, the easily triggered, just be aware of it so that when it happens, you're like, oh, there it is. I was expecting that. And the other half of these chill, beautiful finger of God coming down to touch your life with inspiration and ideas, right? And those just revel in them, in the gratitude. And when other days get dramatic, just be like, nope, not going to participate in the drama. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. I'm going to go meditate. I'm going to go take a walk. I'm going to go in the pool. I'm going to do something else. And so that balance, but that's your February. any particular days or questions you want to know about?
Let's see. Yeah. On, February 2nd and February 27th, I'll be doing podcasts. And yeah, I believe for this month, those are the two things. In March, I'm going to be going on a cruise with Abraham Hicks.
Cool.
You know who that is,
I know,
right?
Who you're talking about. Sure.
Yeah, it's a 10-day cruise in the Caribbean with Abraham Hicks. It's the first vacation.
That awesome. Yeah.
5 years without a vacation. So I'm going for. Yeah, I know.
So the 2nd and the 27th, these are really, these are great choices. So the February 2nd for you, you have God consciousness and control, acting on your energy, which includes acting on your time, money, attention, and the energy in your body and the energy in your life. And you have the 4 of foundation. So whatever's happening on the 2nd is good and positive and foundational for moving forward. And
fantastic.
On the 27th is a different characteristic. It's human consciousness in control, acting on and the physical. So that's a good day for anything focused on relationships. Relationship, if the podcast is about relationships, that would be perfect. And energy. Yeah. And you've got on that date as well, on the 27th, you have, you'll have inspiration. So it's a day of inspiration and really effective communication opportunity about relationships. What's that particular podcast about?
Compassion, which is about relationships.
Oh, well, there you go.
It's us in relationship. Yeah.
It's about compassion. Because that's your relationship to yourself too.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It has to start with self, always. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So let me ask you, those are up in great days. Good. Yay.
Yay.
I feel like I just came out of a year of 2023 of a roller coaster of you know, being just incredibly high on spirit and supported and connected and centered, and then deep diving into complete. I mean, it's been this whole past year, it's been the second hardest year of my life in terms of, it's just been like up and down. And I mean, it's been very challenging. And I know that it's been challenging, not just for me, but for a lot of people.
Yeah. But and I think you've got a little bit more of that. Yeah. You've got a little bit more of that to go until you really click over into this 4 year in June. And so just ride the top of the wave and use this as an opportunity, because you're in a 3 year, the opportunity for divine information to come to help you understand what your next move should be, you know, where you want to be, what you want to be doing, how you want to be doing it, who you want to be surrounded with, you know, designing that the life you want. This is a great time for that. The challenges, any challenges that come, are just trying to inspire you to what you want and what you don't want. And it's trying to help you make those choices.
But this is the end of the three, and we're going into the four.
That's right.
The four will start June 17th. The four, you said, that's the four is going to be also, it sounds like, another year of
challenges. It could be, but the difference in the four is the four, because every number has two sides. So your 4 year, something foundational will happen to you, something that alters the rest of your 9 year cycle. So something that, you know, I don't know if you're moving, if you're going to meet someone, that these are all things that could happen depending on your openness and what you're willing and interested in, what you've been asking for and what you're manifesting. But foundational changes in your life are coming. And so that's why you want to be very cognizant about what you want those to be before you get to June. But that foundation, the four, can also represent rigidity and holding on and attachment. And so you have that choice. And that's where you see this struggle. You have this divine bliss, and that's the openness. You're like, bring me awesome stuff. Bring me an ideal soulmate. Bring me a beautiful place to live or whatever. Yes. And then you've got the struggle of the drama, and the drama is coming from the resistance and detachment and holding and rigidity. And you're seeing these forces play out as you approach that four, that turn of that four this June.
True. I'm feeling that. Absolutely. I'm even conscious of it. Yeah. It's been in the last week that I've become very conscious of this.
Yeah. Yeah. And now I'm that you so see it, it won't toss you as much, right? Because you see it. You're like, oh, I see what's going on. This is about the openness to foundational changes versus the rigidity and the attachment and the holding on. Which will I choose? Ooh. And you get to decide which you choose. And whatever you choose over the next year, year and a half, will make the difference in what the rest of this 9 year cycle looks like. Because when you get to your 5 year, to be a five in a 5 year, right? You're a ruling five. And when you get to a 5 year, talk about action, you're going to be on fire. You're gonna write that book you've been thinking about. You're gonna like, it's action, 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 you know. And so you want your foundational year to put you in a good place to do whatever you're inspired to do when you get to that 5 year, and it's all about let's go, let's do it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's so funny. I know that when people do number readings and things with me, they always hope they're going to get on, and I'm going to go, you have a perfect life coming, and it's going to be perfect every day, and you're never, ever going to be sad or upset. And instead, I'm like, no, girl, here's the drama.
We'll never get that reading, because It's never a bad arriving.
Nobody ever gets that reading. Nobody. Because we're human. That's funny. But I hope that that gives you some kind of like just the energies that are coming. And then you get to work with those however you choose. You do have free will here. So the energies are coming. I would just open. And you know this. Open and surrender.
That's all right. I'm not above doing it and being reminded, because even though we know it, we so easily forget.
Oh, we do, don't
we? We remember and we forget.
Yeah.
Yesterday, it was just yesterday it hit me. It's like my old self creeps in, the one that wants to be in control, the one that wants things done a certain way. Oh, she's very, very rigid. She's very rigid. And I saw her very clearly yesterday. And she just got things done. We got a lot done yesterday.
Sure.
But I was not happy.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. I saw that. And I saw how unhappy it made me, even though I got stuff done. So I felt good about getting stuff done. But the way in which I get stuff done is so not okay anymore. I need a way of being able to, this is what I really want. I was talking to Jesus today, yesterday. Mm-hmm. Was it last night or this? It was this morning. See, I don't have no sense of time anymore. This morning I woke up and I was just like, I need that part of me to be gone. I need that part of me that is, you know, just hypervigilant and, you know, must get stuff done and move on and get it off the plate so that you can relax. Of course, that relaxing and that playing gets put off so much and so often. It's just not okay anymore.
Yeah, because and that's a common problem. Yeah, for ruling fives, that's a common problem because we love productivity and we get excited when we accomplish things.
Yes.
And it feels so good. Big dopamine hit. Feels great. The way in which we choose to be productive, you know, you've really nailed it there. Mm-hmm. We've got to watch that and pay attention to that. How do we choose to be productive? Are you coming at it, you know, and we grow up in a society where it's a very yang focused, you know, almost militaristic, get it done or else.
Very kind in your of, head.
Yeah, very, very mental. But what if we can be even more productive, as us fives love to do, by coming at it, like bringing it down? Yeah. A heart productivity. What about a sacral divine feminine productivity? You know, real creation, right? That feels good, doesn't it? Like flowing in intuition and love and being actually even more productive. But that takes practice because we didn't grow up in a society that teaches us that. So we have to teach ourselves that. And practice and play with that and have fun with that. I'm so glad you mentioned that because I needed a reminder on that too recently. Not having enough
fun. Not having enough fun. And it's not okay anymore. I really think that, I mean, if we are going to be lifting up our vibration so that we can lift the planet's vibration up, I mean, not in order, but we do it simultaneously. As we lift our vibration up, we're going to be lifting the planet up, the collective up.
Sure.
It's just an automatic, right? Yeah. It's a natural outpouring.
Right.
So we have a responsibility. I love that. You see, now we can turn that in. Let's make our happiness a goal now or a job now. I mean, really, I can turn anything into a goal or a job.
So I can turn anything into a task list.
Right. And my ego will go, oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, now you're going to make that happiness happen, and it will just kill it. So, yeah, you know, it's just, right?
Be joyous, damn it.
Damn it, or you're going to.
Yeah,
we're doing it right. Yeah. It's amazing how how sly that ego is. Just amazing. So,
yeah.
That's I just realized we can't do like status quo anymore. Oh, we're over the five. We're over the mean hour.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was just looking at that going, holy cow, we've been on for more than an hour. We need to, we should probably wrap it up. But, I'll stop the recording here in just a minute, but not before I say thank you, Carrie, so much. This was so much fun. I will get you a link to this when it goes out for your own record and enjoyment. And thank you for joining me today.
Thanks,
everyone.
So
see you next time.
Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening and being there.